Okay, so the due process protections guaranteed by federal regulation pursuant to the Medicaid Act. All hearings have to be held at a reasonable time, date, or place. Like I said, most of them are done over the phone now. You can get an in-person hearing at an HHSC office where the beneficiary lives, or even in their home, if you have good cause. There's confusion amongst hearing officers about what good cause means. Something you need to have a communication issue that you can't communicate over the phone. Others recognize maybe it's to see the beneficiary. The last in-person hearing I did was about a standing wheelchair that was denied. They claimed it, there was no benefit for the beneficiary and also that they couldn't operate it. So we brought a standing wheelchair to the hearing. The beneficiary testified using it, demonstrating it, showing the benefits, and showing that she was able to operate it, and that was successful. So there are times when you'd want to ask for one in person, but you need to have a good reason, and it's sort of an uphill battle to get one, but you can do it. You can also ask for continuances if they set it on a day that your beneficiary has a doctor's appointment or you're unavailable. You can at least move it once, maybe twice if you need to. Before the hearing, the beneficiary has an opportunity to examine the contents of their case file and basically the exhibits that the Medicaid program or the managed care company is going to use at the hearing. So one as exhibits, and the other is the case file. Now, federal law says you get the case file. Medicaid will give you the case file, but you have to ask for it. So what you're going to get is you're going to get the exhibits, and if you want the case file, you have to ask for it. Now, that serves as a basis for a continuance. I'm entitled to the case file, and I didn't get it.
So if we move
over
and let Hannah sit next to you.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey.
I'm sorry.
No, this is Hannah.
Sorry. She's 35 got the better of me.
Okay.
I apologize.
It's okay. It's okay. We're just doing a little presentation. You want to introduce your son?
Certainly. This is my son, Aiden. He is a triplet, and he has very complex medical needs, and he spends a lot of time doing advocacy work at the Capitol with Mom.
Is that where you guys just came from?
It is. We did.
All right. Fantastic. Well, Peter, do you want to...
Yeah. Do you want to talk about Hannah, how we ended up in managed care? I sort of skipped over that because I know that's your... That was your...
Peace.
Cause
sure.
To undo.
So y'all may already be familiar with this, but about 10 years ago, Senator Jane Nelson and some others came together at the legislative level as the chair of Health and Human Services and decided that they wanted to transform the Medicaid system in Texas. And one of the ways that they looked at doing that, which ultimately we ended up with, was sort of a privatized managed care model, which is essentially a bunch of HMO insurance companies who divided the state into small regions and allocated by region and bid for those regions based on population, based on a capitated rate per head, which would allow them to remove the state from being at risk for overflow cost in Medicaid. And that has gradually been implemented, starting with a small program in the greater Houston area, and eventually transitioning most lately to children with special needs and disabilities in the Star Kids program. And there were many issues and challenges with the program prior to it moving into Star Kids, just with managed care in general and some of the underlying policies and some of the ways that it was implemented. When it got to the Star Kids program, which was developed under SB 7 in the 83rd legislature, there were some parameters put in place that were supposed to make it more effective, that were supposed to help customize it for children with special needs and disabilities However, the devil is in the details, as the saying goes, and there was a lot of political pressure at that time on HHSC to do certain things and implement the program in a certain way, and as a result, we have seen, I'm sure y'all have seen some of the headlines that have come out of that and some of the news investigations. It's been very challenging for families who have children with disabilities to make that system work for them, because essentially managed care was never designed to care for such a complex population. It was designed to keep healthy people well. So that has been a real challenge for a lot of our families, and that is, as you know, some of the advocacy work that our organization does, and of course Peter is an essential part of helping our families navigate that system as well.